KN4VWA, KV2HXS.
Dave, I will call you back shortly. KN4VWA.
I'm in the vehicle. I'll be home in about 10 minutes. So you may catch me, you may not. KB2HXS Mobile, y'all.
4HKX, even he don't want to talk to you now.
I'm out there. KB2HXS, clear. Hey, Patrick, how are you?
Hope you're having a good day.
Every day is a good day, you know that. Just some days are better than others. And today is an other day. No, everything's good. Everything's good. I got a few things I got to do in the morning. Other than that, looks like a somewhat of a slow week.
Yeah, it's been slow. That's for sure. I'm done for the day already.
Well, the local 5-0, there's a bunch of them out. I just passed like 3 of them. They're just kind of driving around. Something going on around here I should know about?
Any clue? Not privy to any information.
Yeah, the missus and I got back in from Florida yesterday. I flew down to meet up with her after her cruise on Saturday. And we hung out down there till Monday morning. And we made our way home. Yeah, we just kind of took a little 2-day drive home. And we made it home without incident yesterday.
I was listening to the radio this morning. They're saying I-95 coming up out of Florida into through South Carolina is the deadliest section of the road in South Carolina.
Really? Huh. I wonder why that is.
Oh, 85 running through Greenville and Spartanburg would have been.
It 95 is fine. You know, when you come out of Savannah, it's about 80-some miles. I think it's 84 miles or so to where the I-26 intersection is. Other than that, it's, it's a little bumpy, but it's not bad.
I don't know. That's just what they were saying on the radio this morning, so I found it kind of interesting.
Yeah, I don't know how much I would believe. I've driven 995 for a lot of years in the truck. Never really had a problem, on 95. And maybe they're talking about up in Florence. I don't know. I mean, there could be anything.
What section it was, it just said I-95 all the way through South Carolina, which is all.
I believe it's like 170 miles, something like that, or 170. I think it's 170 or 179. I can't remember the mileage.
I just found it interesting. I've only been on that highway a couple of times, so, and I don't put nothing memorable about it, so what do you know? What I know.
Oh, I hear you. Wow, that was it was a regular haunt for me for many, many years, running New York to Florida runs, moving furniture and stuff. So, yeah, I've been to that Petro there at the 170 many times. Fueled up there, slept there, the whole bit, you know.
See how you find places to do that in your normal travel? Just get comfortable with certain places?
Well, when you're driving and you got to keep logs, you got to keep in your brain where you can, how far you can go and what you can get to and, what you can get away with.
Because they don't give you any leeway on that stuff.
No, not a lot of leeway at all. I used to log, normally I would log 5 miles an hour under the posted speed limit. So, everything looked good. And, a few tricks here and there. I didn't push it. Never ran 2 log books. But, I got away with it, got away with a few things in my day.
Do that with that ELDL.
Oh, yeah, the electronic logs. Yeah, with the Qualcomm and all that. No, I'm so glad I'm off the road.
Glad I don't have to run one of those. I stay within 150 air miles, so I don't have to mess with it.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't got to mess with those. That's the downside of running, like, local, if you're doing, like, local deliveries or LTL-type work. Like, I'm sure Shane has got to run those logs or whatever because, he's probably going, I know he's going more than 150 miles, so he's got to be careful. But they probably got electronic logs in his trucks.
You still got to watch your time. You can't drive more than 11 hours in a day. You can't be on duty more than 14. You have to take so many breaks at certain times. And it just gets to be a lot. And then there's getting less and less places for trucks to park and do all that.
Oh, I know. And you better make sure that your time stamp on your fuel receipt matches your logbook, because they'll cram that right down your throat. If you don't have that 15 minutes in the off-duty section fueling, man, they'll write you for that.
Luckily, like I said, I don't have to do that. I'm supposed to keep a timesheet, 6 months worth of them, but I just let my phone track me, and it reports everywhere I stop, how long I drive, how long a day, how many miles I cover. So I just let it do its thing.
So glad I don't have to do that. Goodness. KB2A checks us. Hey, I'm just a regular old car. a non-commercial vehicle. Yay.
There's a lot to it anymore. It's not what it used to be anyway.
You know, I've gotten inspected at the scales a few times here and there. You know, you give them your IFTA cards and all that and your logbook, and they do a quick paperwork inspection and send you on your way. But I think in my whole career, I think I got shut down at a scale one time.
I'm sure they're quick to shut you down anything they can.
And it's all a revenue thing, you know. They just want to make revenue off you.
Those pink slips, revenue sharing coupons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, thankfully, didn't get a lot of tickets, you know. I think all the tickets I got over the years, I think I maybe four or five, and count them on one hand, you know.
Good. It means you were trying to do the right thing anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of my biggest pet peeves was keeping my truck clean. You know, I'd run through the truck wash at least twice a month. And, you know, as long as the truck is clean and neat, they tend to not bother you. You know, they tend to leave you alone because they know they're barking up the wrong tree.
There's plenty of them out there that don't take care of it. You can just tell right away when you follow them down the road and the brake chamber's hanging underneath by the air hose, or the air hose is just whipping in the wind. Just, you know, anything, mud flaps missing, lights don't work or not even there.
Oh, yeah, no, I've seen some junky trucks on the road, trust me. You know, and the old adage is if the light is on the truck, it needs to work. You know, so I always check my lights. Yeah, back in 02 when I had my tractor, I didn't have LEDs. It didn't have a lot of the LED lights was just on to come out. And, I had those five small lights across my brim. And, you know, I would I changed all those over, changed all the round brake lights, all the lights over LED.
Last a lot longer than the incandescent bulbs, that's for sure. Ran brighter.
Well, not only that, you know, it takes a huge strain off the batteries too, because I changed all the trailers out. I did all the top rail, I did all the lights on the trailer itself, changed them all over to LEDs, and it took a huge, huge draw off of everything.
Does that? I think only incandescent bulbs on this truck I got are the two front turn signals. They're the only ones left that haven't been replaced, the LEDs.
KB2HXS Mobile. What about your headlights? Are they LED now, or are they halogen, or what are they?
Before me, upgraded them to LED. KO4HKX, so they were that way when I got the truck.
Oh, excellent. Anyway, let me let you go, Patrick. I'm on my block here. I'm about ready to pull into the driveway, and I will catch you another day, my friend. KO4HKX, KB2HXS.
Have a good afternoon, KO4HKX Mobile.
We'll catch you later. See ya.
KXKI4DOS.
KO4HKX.
I just installed a new microphone. How's it sound?
You must have had another radio on close by when you first keyed up, though.
I did. It was right on top of it, so I had to turn it off.
Install now.
Old desktop over here. I took out the 840 and the 2000 and put in a 706 Mark II GN and a 990 and rearranged my speakers and all that stuff.
The 706 you're on? Sounding good. Did you just get that or did you have it?
I've been sitting over on my workbench and I decided I wanted to stick it over here and try it.
Not less room, doesn't it?
But in the place of the 840, so it's on the other side. I'm trying to get all my wires out of the way so when I call the net, I won't have a microphone wire strung across in front of my computer screen.
Good. It sounded really good, so don't believe I'd change anything.
Okay, buddy, I appreciate it, and you have a good day as best you can at work.
Well, yeah, I'm done for the day. I'm heading up Whitehorse, heading home now.
It's just getting to be your short day.
That way. Just been slow the last couple of weeks.
And Gerald T.R.
Well, there goes the neighborhood. Hey, Tom. I hate that, but things will pick back up.
And did you... something messed up on my phone the other night, and I tried to send you a message about an ironic CW contact I made, because I know you can do CW. Did you get that one?
I don't think so, Tom. Hang on a minute. I'll go get my phone and look.
No, I'll just tell you. Patrick, is that all right with you?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. I'm just riding up the road. I'm listening.
Well, the other night, I like to work most anything, Gary. And there was an odd one on there, and I remembered many, many years ago, and in fact, I commented to Bernice. I said, I worked Yellowknife in the Yukon Territory probably 30 years ago. And I can't remember the guy's call right now. But anyways, I saw it on QRZ, and I went up there and sure enough, I could hear it. Don't mean you will, but I did. So I had a short two-so with him, and I told Bernice, I'm going to look that up. Because when I first come down here, Ariel helped me put some of my old books that I hadn't thrown away into this N3FJP log. And sure enough, July of 1998... I worked that same gentleman in Yellowknife in the Yukon up in Alaska, and I love those Life Below Zero shows. That's the reason I wanted to work him. And I'd work him in July of 1998. I think that's about 26 years ago, Gary. The very same guy. So I looked up his detail on there, and he was born in 1945 and was 3 years older than me. Isn't that an ironic one?
I tell you what, that is something else. I wish I could do something like that. But no, I did not get that that text about that. The last one I got was your birthday cake, and the one before that was something else entirely.
Okay, no. I just was thrilled to death with that one. It was really, it's nothing to work Canada. I know that. But when you get those odd places like that, it's really neat. I worked him on 17 sideband years ago in 1998, and then I worked him on CW, the very same old gentleman like I am, in 2024. That's pretty amazing. Go ahead, Patrick.
Like an amazing thing, Tom. Hopefully I can do stuff like that when I've been around that long. But y'all carry on. I'm just driving up the road, so I'm just listening.
Along the same lines, but not the same. When I first got my general, I was doing a lot of DXing, and I talked with this fellow over in Russia. And
I don't know. I've talked to him once or twice, and one night I was in here in the ham shack, and I was just flipping around the dial, you know, and I heard this station booming in, and I went back to him, and it was the fellow over in Russia that I had been talking to. And he said, "Hello, Gary. It's good to hear you again." I said, "My word." His name was Alex, and we talked on there for a few minutes. And he asked me if I was ever coming to Russia, and I told him I did not have any plans on that. He said he was planning. I said, "Here's my number, and this is where I live." I said, "If you'll give me a call, if you are anywhere close by, I said, I'd love to come meet you." And never heard anything else from him, so I don't know if he made it over here or not.
You know, I had a hard time. You know, we lived during the Cold War, Gary, and how we were indoctrinated in that, in the service. And I always had a hard time at first working Russians, but I found they were some of the best in the world on CW. And many times I'd get a QSL card from them, and the paper was such poor quality. It was amazing. Some of them were standing beside their World War II fighter planes or bombers, and that. I still got some of them. Well, I'm sure I got all of them. And it was amazing. But a lot of them went down to a club house and worked from there because they had old tube sets, and they didn't have the money to go buy anything, tube or otherwise, I'm sure. But I always, if I see them on there, I grab them. And then a lot of them, their names are almost the same. Ivan and Alex, and, you know, they, after the famous astronauts and the leaders of the Soviet Union, most generally their name will come in there somewhere with that their parents named them after. But they are good operators, I'll say that. I talked to one on 20 for the first time in a long time on sideband about a month ago. He's a pretty nice fella, but he didn't want to have a long queue, so he just talked with me a couple of minutes. But, yeah, you remember those kind. I talked to a guy one time in the Yukon, and he's going down the road, and I was talking to him on sideband, and he said, "Hold on a minute, Tom, hold on a minute." He says, "I'll be back. It'll probably be, 5 minutes. And he didn't tell me why. And about 5 minutes later, he come back, and he says, "Tom, I was on a ferry." And he says, "You cannot transmit when you're on a ferry." And he was mobile. And that was another ironic one, Gary.
Cool too. Yeah, it's I was on the way to work one morning, and the guy hollered at me and told me, he says, "Antarctica is on such and such a frequency." And I said, "Well, let me see if I can get him." And I turned my HF rig on in the truck and tuned where he was at, and he was booming in. I threw him a call out one time, and he told everybody else, he said, "Y'all be quiet just a minute. I want to get this mobile station." And he came back to me, and I was talking to Antarctica riding up the road. So, you know, it's amazing where and when you can make a contact.
Anytime, Patrick. Yeah, it is. KC4AAA or something like that's down there. And I was talking to one in Antarctica one time, and I told him, I said, "I sure love watching, the wife and I watch those Life Below Zero shows all the time, and any of them up there, you know, in the Arctic Circle." And he says, "Tom," he says, "you know the difference between where that lady's got that little airport on Life Below Zero and where I'm at?" And I said, "Well, no, it's all snow." He says, "No," he said, "she's 50 below zero, and I'm 100 below zero."
I wanted to be in either category myself, Tom, but I like to watch those shows as well. The new generation is kind of, they got some real dummies on there as far as I'm concerned. They don't seem to know exactly what they're doing or how to do it or whatnot. But the older folks that are on there are really good. Another program I like to watch along those lines is Mountain Men. And they've got a couple of those that are pretty decent. I enjoy those. But there was one guy, his name was Bob. I can't remember his last name right off the top of my head. Was on that Life Below Zero. He passed away, and he was a ham.
LTR. Well, you know, Bernice and I feel exactly the same way about the younger generation up there. There's nothing like that one big family is up there, and that one old boy, he lives by himself. I'm not too crazy about him. He's a little skinny guy. But I remember him going out and taking a bath outside in the snow there one time. And I thought, well, that's getting a little too personal. But I thought, oh, my, that would be cold. And then I do like Mountain Man and Eustace. And the old boy that passed away on there was wonderful that worked with Eustace. But we've watched almost all of those, so to us, most of them are reruns. But if nothing else is on, we'll fall back on one of those too, though, Gary.
Yeah, we do as well, and I really enjoy it. It's just a whole lot of fun. I mean, yeah, it's something different. A little bit out of the away from the norm, we'll put it that way. But there's some really good shows on there. I like old Eustace. There ain't nothing that old fella can't do, I don't believe.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. I'd hate to cross him. I remember they chased a guy out one time, was on a four-wheeler that was poaching on his land. I don't know what they'd have done with him if they caught him. But he's about as easy going as there is, but you don't mess around with his land. And Bernice and I, we're down in the basement at night, and I'm over at the radios, and that's the kind of thing we watch, and we enjoy it. But there is a guy on there from South Africa that you could talk to very easily. He's on 7154 in that area a lot of times, 7162 or so. KC, let me see, ZS6, and I can't remember the suffix, but you'll see it when he's on there. But he don't come on until about 10 o'clock at night, and I think it was N4ZLK, Shane, that told me, or somebody told me, he's got four beam antennas up there, four wavelengths. But on 40 meter, he sounds like WIFF4 down here, you know.
I bet you know Gabriel. He's got a Telrex 40 meter beam, monobander. He's also got a Cushcraft. That's a little two element 40 meter beam. I helped him put it up. I hadn't helped him put that Telrex up yet. That thing's got a 3-inch boom on it. You got to have some property to get that one in the air. But that little Cushcraft, I'm telling you, you put it on the radio and on 40 meters, and it's like putting 600-800 watts out. A pretty decent amplifier. And of course, if you had a label limit app and put it into that beam, boy, I'm telling you, you could really do some talking then. But I don't know. I enjoy what I'm doing. I don't do a whole lot of radioing. I'm doing a little more now than I did, but still not utilizing what I've got to its full potential.
Yeah, I think that's ZX6CCY, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to look it up over there in South Africa. But it's just immeasurable how much he's done for the ham radio community. And I think Shane is the one that mentioned that too. And he's just an incredible ambassador for ham radio. He talks to everybody. And he said, I was 10 over 9. And he said, that's really something else, Tom, on a wire. he had them beans. But if you go to his website, ZS6CCY, you can see all the pictures of it out in the boondocks, Gary. It's really something to look at on QRZ.
Well, Tom, you'll have to look his call up, make sure I get the right one, and shoot me a text with it, and I'll look him up. But, I enjoy talking to all these folks other places. One thing I dislike, and I probably step on some people's toes here, I don't mean to, but, a lot of people dislike to exchange a signal report. I like to talk to the folks, and, I was talking to a fella over in, he was in Australia. I think he was in Australia. It might have been either that or New Zealand. I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look at my log. But anyway, I was talking to him, and I told him, I said, I got a little place over here, and I told him I had an acre of land, and he sort of chuckled, and I said, what's so funny? And he said, well, I got a small ranch over here, and he said, I don't have but like 1,200 acres. And I said, and that's a small ranch? He said, yeah. I said, my goodness, I'd hate to see a big one.
What country was that in, Gary?
That was either Australia or New Zealand. I think it was Australia.
They set up late in Kansas to talk to the Aussies mostly 20 meters sideband years ago in the 90s. But I talked to a guy once down there. I got several letters from people down there. And you don't ever want to tell them they're a Brit or sound like a Brit. I did that one time when I first started out. And of course, it was a British penal colony, and they don't like that. But he was nice about it. He said, you don't ever want to say that. But, yeah, that call on the one in South Africa is ZS6, Charlie Yankee. His name is Bill Hunter Hosey, and that website on QRZ is worth looking it up. It really is. He's got some beautiful pictures on there, Gary. Makes me jealous. It's a little different than Kansas, but not a lot. But yeah, I talked to a guy down there one night in, I used to talk to all the little islands south of Australia a lot. Dad burn it. I'm trying to think of the name of it. But there's a lot of little islands out in there in Tasmania. And I talked to a guy on CW, and he sent me a real nice card and a letter. And it was, he had 100 and, let's see, he had 100 acres, and he had 101 Holstein cows. At least they look like Holsteins. They're probably a different breed down there. But I'll never forget that, 101 Holsteins on 100 acres, and real nice guy. It's amazing the geology in the different areas. It's all around the perimeter, and I've talked to him down there where that movie was made, out there. What's the name of that one? Quickly Down Under. I've talked to him out there. There's a guy who operates from there. And pretty often. But, some of the places I talked, the guys were into coal mining and different kinds of things like that. And other things were big cities. But there's nothing in the interior down there, Gary, in Australia, I'll tell you.
I really enjoy talking to those folks, and I have been to Australia. I went to Australia when I was in the Navy, and enjoyed that. I talked with a guy in New Zealand. I went to New Zealand as well, in a little town called Whenuapai, New Zealand, and I was talking to him, and believe it or not, he was on 2 meters echo link one night, and I was talking to him. And I mentioned Whenuapai, and boy, he didn't live far from that little town. There's a lot of vineyards out in that area, and we got to talking about the different vineyards and stuff like that. But 100 acres, 101 acres, and 100 Holstein cows. Well, I tell you what, that's something else. One cow I've got an acre of land. That's pretty good. Of course, they probably need it to keep them all fed. But believe it or not, we have a lot of meat that comes from Australia in our grocery stores. A lot of people don't know that, but we do.
Man, I know the frog legs come from Vietnam, and I just about can't buy those, but I do. Because you can't get them from any place else. Ingles has got frog legs up here anyways. And the thing that really knocked me back today, we went to Ingles after we'd been to Aldi's and Ingles and every place else, Tractor Supply, Lowe's. And Bernice uses oxtail, which is cow tail, I'm sure, in vegetable soup. And I was telling Patrick earlier today, it's $10.98 a pound for oxtails. And this gentleman was over there, and he was getting some vegetable soup. And, man, it smelled good at the deli. And I told him so. And he said, well, why don't you get you some? And I said, well, the wife makes ours. And I showed him those oxtails there in $10.99, and I told him, I said, I think that comes with the poop on them, too.
You know, a lot of people hadn't tried oxtail soup, but that really makes some good soup. It really does. Funny you should mention that. I hadn't had that in a long time, but it's some really good stuff. No, there's quite a number of things that you see in the grocery store that you think, well, my goodness, you know, people really eat that. But, you know, most of the time it's really good. I'd never eaten beef tongue. I can't remember. It's been a long, long time ago. But the first time I ate it, I thought, you know, I'm eating the tongue of a cow. But it tasted really like a good roast, beef roast. But it took about 12 hours to cook it.
Well, Bernice got something to tell you. She's the farmer from Kansas. Come a little closer.
Oh, we used to eat tongue on sandwiches.
Now, try that. That sounds good. I put everything else between two pieces of bread, it seems like.
But she puts it in the vegetable soup, Gary, and then the oxtail, and then she makes her a sandwich out of the oxtail. I've tasted the meat.
It's good, too.
Yeah.
It makes good sandwiches.
Yeah, it makes good sandwiches after the soup's done, but it imparts a taste into the vegetable soup that's really quite unique. Most people, if you tell them what it is, they'd stick their nose up at it, but if you don't tell them, they just gobble it up.
There's a lot of things that, you know, if you don't tell them what they're eating, they really enjoy it. But then if you say, well, by the way, this is so-and-so, you know, they start to turn green. You know, what are you turning green now for? You done had it. You've already eaten it. You enjoyed it. What's the big deal?
Some person come to our house in the old days, and we was poor, and Bernice made the best barbecued sandwiches out of squirrel you ever ate. But when they get done eating, they'd ask me what it was, and I'd tell them, and they'd turn kind of green.
That's to me, if you're going to enjoy something, enjoy it, don't matter what it is, but you can think about what it is later.
Don't move, I'm all for it. Now, when I was stationed in San Diego and my brother was there on a ship, I was out on North Island, and they invited me over to supper one night, and his wife, they said they had oyster, I don't know, something. But I like oyster stew. So before the meal, she was kind of fancy. She come out there, and they had these shells and the oyster sitting on them. And I said, brother, I'm not going to, he was a first-class personnelman then. I said, I'm not going to eat that. It's raw. Oh, no, it's cooked, Tom. And so I picked it up, and I ate it, and I bit it in half, and I said, that's black inside. And, go ahead and swallow it whole, and I did. I gullet all the way down, and he was just a laugh, and he says, that's what they call oysters on a half shell.
Live.
Oh, he retired, and he's out by Fort Huachuca, and I haven't been in touch with him for a long time, Gary. He said he just wanted to hear from me and Bernice, and he says, I don't want to ever hear anything about your kids. And that pretty well tore the sheet with us.
Yeah, but that's not the reason I asked you that. I asked you if he was still alive. I believe I'd have killed him. That's awful of me to say that, but you know how some folks are. They get a kick out of seeing how green they can make you turn.
Most famous for that. There at Moffitt, he used to flip this poor airman. I don't know. I think he was a seaman. Might have been an airman there in the office with him. He was under him. And he'd flip him every day to see who bought the Cokes. And Jim and me, I don't know how long it'd been that Ronnie had won every single time. So finally this airman, he lost the toss. Ronnie went down and got him a can of pop. And I happened to be walking by there, and I said, what are you doing? And he was just shaking that can like crazy. And he stood there and shook that thing all the time we were talking, and then went back in the office and handed it to that poor airman. I thought that was a dirty trick.
That play tricks on folks.
Kind of a Rouse inherited trait. I've been known to do things like that.
Having anything at all, I guess, but I'm like that. I enjoy having a little fun with folks every once in a while. Don't do it to be malicious or mean. It's just one of those things that we do.
You know, Gary, I saw Bernice and I went to Tractor Supply to get some oyster shell for the chickens. And while there, after we drove up, there was all three or four miniature Jeeps at $2,500 a pop. So guess who I sent that to and told him he needed to buy one of those for his new grandson?
I think I just figured that one out. The good news is he'll probably do it.
That kid inherited the world, I think. Man. But you talk about authentic looking. They are really neat. They don't look like one of them little plastic, you know, things that the kids get with batteries in them. I didn't look at it that closely, but it looked like a real Jeep. I told him he needed to get that and train him up before I give him that real Jeep out there in the garage.
Or DOS, in case anybody cares. He will be rotten. Ain't no doubt in my mind about that. I tell people all the time, Tom, if I'd have known grandkids was so much fun, I'd have had them first.
Hey, got Bernice laughing over there. Well, Amy had the daughter here. She had surgery Monday, and it was a two-hour surgery. It was for a tear in her tendon in her other hip. She had the other one fixed years ago. I know it's from playing football, but she'd never admit that, or softball. And you know, the very next day, I texted her yesterday, and she said, oh, I'm just sitting here working, because she can work remotely from home. And she'd just been out of surgery a few hours, and she was back there working.
Some people don't have something to do, you know, they don't know what to do with themselves, and I guess that's all right. I'm kind of that way, but I've always got enough little projects going on around here to keep me busy. And, I don't begrudge people. If they want to work, let them work. I don't care. Don't bother me a bit in the world.
Yeah, we did it for 50 years or so. Well, Gary, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I really enjoyed it. And tell Joy hi. And I got to go out and tend to the girls out back. Boy, I got to tell you, we got some... I told Patrick this morning, stop by and give him a couple dozen eggs. We got these Isa Browns. You spell that I-S-A and then Brown. Never heard of them. And anyways, the chicken man told us, he said, Tom, he says, those things lay like crazy. some pharmaceutical company developed them in cooperation with some hatchery or some dang thing. And they're pretty. They're brown chickens. Look similar to the ones you had, I'm sure, the Rhode Island Reds. And they seem docile. They don't fight or nothing. And they just started laying about, maybe 3 weeks ago. In the last 2 days, those six chickens laid six eggs each day, Gary. I've never seen that out of another breed. Those Australian ones were supposed to be good layers, and they were, and they lay a huge egg. But can you imagine that? Six eggs, 2 days in a row. I don't know what's out there today.
Unless you go check and see, you're liable to have more eggs than you know what to do with it. But that is really fantastic. I didn't know that you could have them lay that many that quick.
But and I'm eating cheese and crackers here in Bernice's homemade summer sausage. And some four-year-old Wisconsin cheese that the kids sent me for my birthday. Or for Christmas for us, I can't remember. But yeah, knock on wood, I wouldn't care if it was six every other day. But they honestly did that, and they're a big brown egg. They're beautiful, really, really dark brown. I paid more money for them because they were 8 weeks old, and that breed was decharged more for it. But you could put them out and not have to worry about them and put a heat lamp on them and all that. Heck, they were sitting out there the other night when it was like 18 degrees on the roost outside before they went in, finally during the night, I guess. So they seem to be pretty durable. And I had put a floodlight in there for 2 days. Not a heat lamp, just a floodlight. And I don't think that one chicken that sat out on that roost for so long, I don't think it liked that light being on all night long. So I just took them back out. And there's a light in there now, but it's LED. And it goes out about 8 o'clock. And then it's dark. But Bernice says you're supposed to keep them awake so many hours a day. What is it? 12 hours? 12 or 13 hours. So I just got a cheap timer from Harbor Freight and put it in there. Anyways, Garrett, I'll catch you down the line. I just want to tell you about them chickens. 73's Gary, KI4DOS, and 0TR clip.
I'm glad your chickens are doing well. I gave the chicken man's name and number to a friend of mine. Her husband built a huge chicken pen, and I mean, this thing's like about 40 feet long or something. I thought, why in the world you build something that big? Well, I wanted to do this, and I wanted to do that, and I didn't want the vultures and the hawks and stuff to be able to get them. And I said, okay, but she really likes the chicken man, and she's got a bunch of chickens from him. But just to let you know that I have passed that information along. You and Miss Bernice have a wonderful afternoon. I just got a text. I got to go over to the drugstore. I got a prescription that's ready. Much to my dismay, I didn't want to go today, but I guess it will now since it's ready. But y'all have a great afternoon, and I'll be listening for you on the net a little while later this evening. 73, my friend, we'll do it again sometime soon. N0TR, KI4DOS.
3, Tom. 73, Gary. KO4HKX. Enjoyed listening to you.
And right now, too, it's kind of crummy out there. You drive safe, Patrick. This is N0TR.
Patrick, I've forgotten that you were in there. You just riding along listening to me and Tom. But you be careful going on up top of the hill, and you tell Miss Elise. I'll get all these ladies straight one of these days, maybe. Tell Miss Elise we said hello, and I'll be listening to you on the net a little later, too. Oh, one other question real quick for you. Are you planning on going over to the T-Bark tomorrow night?
On it. Are you planning on coming?
I got an email said they're going to put out a bunch of information, and I thought I might go over there and find out what's going on.
My plan is to make it to the meeting tomorrow night. I'm glad you reminded me, or I would have forgot.
I'm glad that I remembered that much anyway. But hopefully if I decide I'm going to go, I'll give you, I'll shoot you a text or a phone call or something.
Well, you and Miss Joy have a good afternoon, and I'll catch you on the net tonight. KO4HKX.
Okay, Patrick, you be careful going on up top of the hill. It's KI4DOS. Clear with KO4HKX. KI4DOS clear.